Hey, welcome to episode number 100 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Today we'll read Numbers 12, Luke 7, and Psalm chapter 22 from the God's Word translation. How was your weekend? I hope you got some rest and relaxation and rejuvenation in the house of the Lord. But today's Monday, and for many of us, it's back to the grindstone. I hope you've got some coffee from Pinecone Coffee to start your morning. It almost makes waking up in the morning not nearly so bad, knowing how good that first sip is going to taste. I like to just smell the aroma and savor it for a second or two before I take that first taste of goodness. I like the rich, full taste of those Honduran coffee beans. If you haven't yet had the pleasure, get over to pineconecoffee.com and tell my lifelong friends, Dell and Kathy Brixey, to send some to you. They have a wide selection of flavors, all available in regular and decaf. And when you order a minimum of 2 pounds, you'll get free shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. And your order doesn't have to be all one flavor. All the coffees they sell are available in quantities as small as half-pound bags. If you don't agree it's one of the best coffees you've ever had, they'll refund your money. So you get free shipping with 2 pounds with no risk. How are you going to beat that? Pineconecoffee.com. Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron began to criticize Moses because he was married to a woman from Sudan. They asked, "Did the Lord speak only through Moses? Didn't he also speak through us?" The Lord heard their complaint. Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "All three of you come to the tent of meeting." So all three of them came. Then the Lord came down on the column of smoke and stood at the entrance to the tent. He called to Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. He said, "Listen to my words. When there are prophets of the Lord among you, I make myself known to them in visions or speak to them in dreams. But this is not the way I treat my servant Moses. He is the most faithful person in my household. I speak with him face to face, plainly, and not in riddles. He even sees the form of the Lord. Why weren't you afraid to criticize my servant Moses?" The Lord was angry with them, so he left. When the smoke left the tent, Miriam was covered with an infectious skin disease. She was as white as snow. Aaron turned to her and saw she was covered with the disease. So he said to Moses, "Please, sir, don't punish us for this foolish sin we committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby that's not completely developed." So Moses cried to the Lord, "Please God, heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her own father had spit in her face, wouldn't she be excluded from the community for 7 days? She must be put in isolation outside the camp for 7 days. Then she can be brought back." So Miriam was put in isolation outside the camp for 7 days. The people didn't break camp until she was brought back. After that, the people moved from Hazeroth and set up camp in the desert of Paran. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished everything he wanted to say to the people, he went to Capernaum. There a Roman army officer's valuable slave was sick and near death. The officer had heard about Jesus and sent some Jewish leaders to him. They were to ask Jesus to come and save the servant's life. They came to Jesus and begged, "He deserves your help. He loves our people and built our synagogue at his own expense." Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the officers sent friends to tell Jesus, "Sir, don't bother. I don't deserve to have you come into my house. That's why I didn't come to you. But just give a command and let my servant be cured. As you know, I'm in a chain of command and have soldiers at my command. I tell one of them, 'Go,' and he goes, and another, 'Come,' and he comes. I tell my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Jesus was amazed at the officer when he heard these words. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I can guarantee that I haven't found faith as great as this in Israel." When the man who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant healthy again. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a city called Nain. His disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he came near the entrance to the city, he met a funeral procession. The dead man was a widow's only child. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt sorry for her. He said to her, "Don't cry." He went up to the open coffin, took hold of it, and the men who were carrying it stopped. He said, "Young man, I'm telling you to come back to life." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Everyone was struck with fear and praised God. They said, "A great prophet has appeared among us," and "God has taken care of his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding region. John's disciples told him about all these things. Then John called two of his disciples and sent them to ask the Lord, "Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?" The men came to Jesus and said, "John the Baptizer sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for someone else?'" At that time, Jesus was curing many people who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. Also, he was giving back sight to many who were blind. Jesus answered John's disciples, "Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. Blind people see again, lame people are walking, those with skin diseases are made clean, deaf people hear again, dead people are brought back to life, and poor people hear the good news. Whoever doesn't lose his faith in me is indeed blessed." When John's messengers had left, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the desert to see? Tall grass swaying in the wind? Really, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Those who wear splendid clothes and live in luxury are in royal palaces. Really, what did you go to see? A prophet? Let me tell you that he is far more than a prophet. John is the one about whom Scripture says, 'I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way in front of you.' I can guarantee that of all the people ever born, no one is greater than John. Yet the least important person in the kingdom of God is greater than John. All the people, including tax collectors, heard John. They admitted that God was right by letting John baptize them. But the Pharisees and the experts in Moses' teachings rejected God's plan for them. They refused to be baptized. How can I describe the people who are living now? What are they like? They are like the children who sit in the marketplace and shout to each other, 'We played music for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a funeral song, but you didn't cry.' John the Baptizer has come neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'There's a demon in him.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, he's a glutton and a drunk, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is proved right by all its results." One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and was eating at the table. A woman who lived a sinful life in that city found out that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she took a bottle of perfume and knelt at his feet. She was crying and washed his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them over and over again, and poured the perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and thought, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know what sort of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Jesus spoke up, "Simon, I've something to say to you." Simon replied, "Teacher, you're free to speak." So Jesus said, "Two men owed a moneylender some money. One owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. When they couldn't pay it back, he was kind enough to cancel their debts. Now, who do you think will love him the most?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said to him, "You're right." Then, turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "You see this woman, don't you? I came into your house. You didn't wash my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but ever since I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put any olive oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. That's why I'm telling you that her many sins have been forgiven. Her great love proves that. But whoever receives little forgiveness loves very little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." The other guests thought, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Psalms chapter 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away from helping me, so far away from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. Also at night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted you. They trusted, and you rescued them. They cried to you and were saved. They trusted you and were never disappointed. Yet I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned by humanity and despised by people. All who see me make fun of me. Insults pour from their mouths. They shake their heads and say, "Put yourself in the Lord's hands. Let the Lord save him. Let God rescue him, since he is pleased with him." Indeed, you were the one who brought me out of the womb, the one who made me feel safe at my mother's breasts. I was placed in your care from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be so far away from me. Trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls from Bashan have encircled me. They have opened their mouths to attack me like ferocious roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like pieces of broken pottery. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me down in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A mob has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. People stare. They gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves. They throw dice for my clothing. Do not be so far away, O Lord. Come quickly to help me, O my strength. Rescue my soul from the sword, my life from vicious dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion and from the horns of wild oxen. You have answered me. I will tell my people about your name. I will praise you within the congregation. All who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. The Lord has not despised or been disgusted with the plight of the oppressed one. He has not hidden his face from that person. The Lord heard when that oppressed person cried out to him for help. My praise comes from you while I am among those assembled for worship. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who fear the Lord. Oppressed people will eat until they are full. Those who look to the Lord will praise him. May you live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and return to the Lord. All the families from all the nations will worship you, because the kingdom belongs to the Lord and he rules the nations. All prosperous people on earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will kneel in front of him, even those who are barely alive. There will be descendants who serve him, a generation that will be told about the Lord. They will tell people yet to be born about his righteousness, that he has finished it. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, I guess Numbers 12 teaches us to respect God's chosen. Makes sense to me. And in Luke 7, we saw a very compassionate side to Jesus. He healed many people in various circumstances, and in each case, the healing was in response to the faith of the receiver. And the most beautiful picture was when the woman who had lived a sinful life ministered with such love and gratitude to him. How beautiful that scene is. And then when I realized how sinful I am and how much forgiveness he has poured out on me, I wish I could show my gratitude to him in the same way. But since I can't, I just have to lay prostrate on the ground and praise him. He is so good, and I am so unworthy. And of course, Psalm 22 is a picture of Jesus on the cross. You can't miss it with the opening, my God, why have you abandoned me? Oh my goodness, what a moving song. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to us. You are holy. You are righteous. You are worthy of our praise. Hey, I've moved our Facebook group to a Facebook page. I think that'll work better for what I want to do there on Facebook. So why don't you come on over and like the new LifeSpring Media page? It's easy to do. Just go to facebook.com/ LifeSpring Media, all one word, or search for LifeSpring Media when you're on Facebook. Well, thank you for starting your week with me. And thanks to Dell and Kathy Brixey, my lifelong friends over there at Pinecone Coffee Company. Order 2 pounds and get free shipping anywhere in the continental U.S. Plus, there's the money-back guarantee if you don't agree. It's one of the best coffees you've ever tasted. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.